man. Proverbs 24. And we'll pick up at verse 23. Proverbs 24 and verse number 23. The Bible says this. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be a delight, shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us tonight. Open your word to us. Guide us in all truth, wisdom, and understanding. We pray, Father, in the precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brethren. Here we go. Proverbs 24, verse 23. Let's look at verse 23 again. Let's look at the first part of it. These things also belong to the wise. These things also belong to the wise. So when the Bible says these things also belong to the wise, it's evidently referring to the things that follow to the end of this chapter. The things that follow, the different things that are going to be discussed to the end of the chapter. Because in chapter number 25, we start kind of a whole different thought. It's a different kind of mindset there. There's a turn to it. But it seems when he says these things, he's talking about the characteristics, the traits, the things that will make up the rest of this chapter, the different things that will be discussed. These things also belong to the wise. So these things that are to follow, both tonight and the next couple of weeks, these things are the things that are the property of the wise. These things belong to the wise. They're the property of someone that's wise. These things distinguish a wise person. And let's see what they are. The first of them is this. It says these things also belong to the wise. And then it gives us the first one. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. So wise man, man that has the fear of the Lord, man that hates evil, such a man will not have respect of persons in judgment. He'll be impartial when he judges and discerns a matter. Brethren, look here. To respect the person. The dictionary defines that very phrase, respecting of a person. To respect the person is said to suffer the opinion or judgment to be influenced or biased by a regard to the outward circumstances of a person to the prejudice of right and equity. In other words, brethren, is to let anything other than the rightness or the wrongness of the situation influence how you judge it. Brethren, we're not to respect the person, but rather judge the cause. And remember that, because there are times that the local church must judge on matters. You don't like to see it, you don't have to do it, but sometimes it happens. And brethren, sometimes that can mean that it can be the person that you love the dearest. Or the person that you really don't care for and wish they'd leave the church anyway because your personality scrubs against them. But brethren, right's right and wrong's wrong. Right's right and wrong's wrong, and you can't let... Listen, sometimes it may be in church, it may be at work, it may be somebody that absolutely gets on your nerves. It may be somebody that you just, I mean, honestly, you have to pray for grace all the time. But brethren, if they're in the right, they're in the right. And it may be somebody that you're dear to and that you care about and you just, man, I mean, just a bosom friend of your soul. But if they're wrong, they're wrong. Brethren, we've got to always remember that. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that sees these things. And we must be impartial. Again, to respect the person is to suffer the opinion or judgment to be influenced or biased by a regard to the outward circumstances of a person to the prejudice of right and equity. Take your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I mean, one time, I had a supervisor, he was a guy giving a course in the Air Force in leadership school, and I remember something he said, and I had to respect him for it. He said in his shop, when he was a supervisor one time in his shop, that there was two guys underneath him that he had to write up their I don't know if it's for an award or if his performance rating. I don't know. But anyway, one of the guys was just about his best friend. They just clicked. They just had a ball together, went everywhere together, did everything. The other guy, he said, honestly, he just didn't care for him. Just didn't care for him. He said, but I had to be honest. That guy I didn't care for, he was a jam-up worker. He was an excellent troop. He said, I didn't like his personality. We clashed. He goes, but the guy was good. He did an excellent job. He said, to be honest with you, my buddy was kind of slack sometimes. And he, man, bless his heart, he played the man, buddy. He did it right. And he laid it out there, and he gave that guy that deserved it the better rating. And his friend was kind of offended, but he said, he goes, hey, man, you're my pal. He goes, but this is honest. This is just true. This is just how it is. You know? And brethren, may God help us so to be. Let me tell you something. If you ever have such a circumstance and you're on the end where maybe you get the bad rating or the bad call or the bad judgment, and you feel like, but man, that was my friend. You ought to be friend enough. You ought to be friend enough to say, you know what? Hey, I'm glad you did the right thing. And I know you're my friend. And you ought to say, hey, I'm sorry my behavior put you in that spot. I'm sorry, I was so slack that I caused you to have to do that. But thank you for being man enough. Because you know what? If you've got a friend, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all get this and get it good. If you got a friend that would do that to you, you got a friend that'll stick. You know what I'm saying? If you got a friend that'll tell you the truth like that and do that, and because of no animosity, but saying, like, can we, but you know the truth's the truth, whoo, that's a friend that'll stick with you. They'll stick. They'll stick. You ain't got to worry about that one being a fair-weathered friend that'll be off. That sucker will stick. I'll tell you that right now. That's a friend. So what you need to do is you need to sit back. And if you ever have a friend like that, you sit back and say, you know what? If that guy, he's my friend, I know we're bosom friends, and he'd like to kill him, but he did that. What he felt like was the right thing, like I'll stick. You know what? There's one I know I can depend on. Seriously, brethren, seriously. Take that to heart. Man, don't take the attitude the world does. Man, the world looks at it like it's all about me and, you know, ain't you know, cut me the slack, you know, but we got before God. If we'll do right, if somebody will do right by God, they'll do you right. They'll do you right. Deuteronomy 1, look at verse 17. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So, brother, there you go. You're not to respect persons in judgment. What do we say here in Deuteronomy? Hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. Tell you what, brother, that's a rough deal there. One of the things, brethren, that I've wrote in my Bible, I mean, it's in the book of Jeremiah, but I'd like to write it sometimes in the front of my Bible. Go over to Jeremiah, let me show you something. And fellas, y'all remember this. Any kind of teaching or preaching that you've got to do, book of Jeremiah, I want you to notice this. Jeremiah 1, look at this. Jeremiah 1, look at verse 7. Jeremiah 1, look verse 7, the Bible says this. He says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, but for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Fellas, if the Lord's ever called you to do anything or give you a message, do it. Don't be afraid of their faces. I like how about that, but through the years it's helped me. Because, brethren, I tell you what, I've seen times. The man, you can catch it. I've caught the looks. And brethren, I mean, you know what? I appreciate you folks. You're a blessing. I do. But man, there's been times. I mean, you folks, but there's been times, brethren, in the past. There's been sometimes some folks. And it's amazing. You'd think they'd realize, you know, that you're sitting there. And even though you're preaching, you're not blind. But I mean, it's like toss the head, blow. And they want to shake your hand. Everything is done, like everything's good and dandy, everything's fine today. It's like, you've got to be kidding me, man. But the thing about it is, you can maybe understand one time, but when it's every week, you're like, why are you here? Go get where you need to be. You're like, it's not going to offend me, man. You're going to distract everybody else, and you're going to, you know, really. But listen, watch this. Don't ever let yourself. Listen, that's why, look here. Guys, I want to tell you something. You let the Bible be your guide. You let the Bible be your guide. There seems to be people fall into a habit of like preaching for amens. And even like, huh? Okay. Are y'all with me? That's immaterial. People, look, I could care less if you're with me or not if I've got a message from God. You understand? You don't understand what I'm saying. What I mean is, yeah, I want you attentive. What I mean is, I don't care if you agree or not. I don't mean that towards you personally. You understand what I'm saying? That is immaterial to me. That is immaterial. That if I, listen, if I get amens or don't get, in fact, a lot of times, brother, they can almost hinder things. Listen, it don't matter. Because the way these things are supposed to work, if I've got something from God, I'm just supposed to deliver it. I'm supposed to deliver it. And so what happens is, guys, don't do that thing. Because you know what you'll tempt people to do? You'll tempt people to sit there like, well, he's going to get in our case if we don't start making a little noise. You know what I'm saying? So then you'll sit there and you'll be tempted to say amen to something you don't know if you really agree with, or you're just chewing on it. So then you'll lose it. Don't play that mess. Don't play that stuff. It becomes a habit people get into. Get something from God and deliver it. All right, look here. Take your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Amen. But so you're not, again, this whole thing of respecting persons and letting things influence your judgment on matters. Don't want it to happen. Take your Bible, go to James 2. James 2. Just look at some different scriptures about it. James 2. James 2, verse 1. Brethren, did you know something? Look here. Brethren, I want to tell you something. Be careful, brethren, because that thing of respecting persons can go different ways. Did you know some people, brethren, can have it's almost like an anti-pride, a reverse kind of pride in something. You say, Brother Doss, what are you saying? I'm like, okay. Most of the time, you think of somebody respecting persons, they would usually respect the person of somebody who is well off, well attired, somebody like that. But sometimes Bible-believing brethren, because they know that that stuff's wrong, can sometimes have a reverse kind of bias towards somebody who is poor or lowly or don't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't do that. Sometimes, brethren, we can, if not careful, you can give you can be biased towards someone that's lowly just because they're lowly without not realizing they too can be in the wrong. You understand? Brethren, get that. The Bible says, thou shalt not countenance a poor man in his cause. Whether he's poor or rich, if he's right, he's right. If he's wrong, he's wrong. I remember a church we was in before I was pastoring. And I don't know what I was doing that afternoon. But there was something, I think maybe I'd been sick or something or what it was. But they had a fellowship or something. And they had some lady who was singing on a video or something. I don't know what it was. Anyway, she had a very, she had a very beautiful voice. Classical, opera type, and loved the Lord. But some of the people at the church, were just, rednecks. You guess what? That's great. Rednecks are wonderful, and non-rednecks are wonderful. Everybody's wonderful, amen. I don't care what, rednecks are rednecks. They're great, they're wonderful. But what I'm saying is, but people that aren't rednecks are wonderful too. Everybody's wonderful. Here's what I'm saying. Watch this. So what I'm saying is the church, it's a country church, but you know what? They got an attitude. They started mocking her. They started making fun of her. And when she told me about it, it would upset me. And they started making fun of her, and like she can't be sincere, she can't be genuine. It's like, look, man, you better lay off of it. Just because you can't hold a note and somebody can, lay off. Now that wouldn't be right to say that to somebody, but you know what? You ask for it when you start that mess. Well, I sing from my heart. Good. Better than your voice. Hey, hold on. But Doss just trying to prove a point. That wouldn't be good neither, would it? But you know what? I'm telling you something. Somebody like that almost deserves somebody got to be said to them. Because I'm going to tell you something. If she's singing from her heart, that's fine. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. When somebody sings from their heart, don't care if I can hold a note or not. It's the heart that blesses. But why can't you get blessed from somebody that can hold a note if it's from the heart too? Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, that's that kind of thing. Don't you see? They had a bias towards somebody that maybe had some training or had a good voice or had a, they had a bias against that. That's wrong. But you know what? It would be wrong for somebody that has a classical kind of voice to look at somebody just, you know, who just has on some old Brogan shoes or something, or stands up with a guitar and, you know, and maybe got one string missing, but just pulls gifts out of the Lord. Amen. Don't be biased against that neither. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is too, you listen, if you're not careful, you can have respect of persons to both degrees. Yes, that's why I said, well, it blesses, be careful. Hey, rednecks are wonderful, man. They're great. But you know what that guy sitting there that's never been outside in his life and sitting out, he's wonderful too. All I'm saying is, brother, everybody's different. Everybody's different. And the body of Christ, come on, man, the disciples, yeah, the tax collector and fisherman. What a crew, man. And then there's Paul. Very learned. You know, Peter and John, them guys, commercial fishermen. Rough. You know, there's Paul. He was, brother, you know what? Amen. Well, all different types make up a body of Christ. I mean, be careful, brother. Don't ever do that. Don't ever have any kind of bias against anyone. If they have, if they don't have. All right, look here. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You know, but I want to tell you something. You know where we've got today? Then we sometimes we've got so rough and down with it, and just down the line. If we're not careful, sometimes the Bible believing crowd would look at the guy that had the ring on and say, "I wonder what his problem is." You know what? If a guy come in had a necklace around his neck or something hanging off of it, and people would be like, "Oh, well, hey, that's just as wrong. That's just as wrong." Don't you see? Sometimes, brother, I'm telling you, sometimes the believing crowd gets to where they get their such a thing, man, that they'll have a bias against somebody if they come in like that instead of the other way around. Verse 3, and if ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here on my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? So there you go, brother. Look here. Don't be that way. Take everybody for who they are. You understand what I'm saying? Take everybody for who they are. And you know Paul witnessed the small and great. Man, to Paul, if you was a king, a Roman governor, or a guard, he's going to tell you about Jesus. He's going to be saying to him. You know? And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be to you and I. That's the way we ought to be. Take your Bible real quick. Go to 1 Timothy 5. Be careful of having respect of persons. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. Brad, you better love everybody right. You better love everybody same. I know you're going to like some people better than others. That's just the way it is, man. Our Lord was closer to some of the disciples than the others. You can't read the Bible and not see that. But I tell you what, He loved them all. He loved everybody. But brother, there's going to be times that, brother, don't ever look down your nose at people. Don't do it. There's going to be some brethren sometimes that may come across kind of simple. Maybe sometimes they'll ask questions that you wonder why in the world or what is going on with them or can't they. Listen, you know what? You better love them. You better appreciate them. Let me tell you something right now. I know me and my wife knows of a couple. Goes to a church. And through the years, they took flack. Because it's just a little different. Just a little different. You know. Sometimes people may think I'm kind of simple. You know, just a little different. But I tell you what. They've been there. And they're there. And they're steady. And they're faithful. And I know this. I know some of the very ones who used to take them with a little disdain. They're out. In some cases, just about out of the race. And they're steady on. You better love them Leahs, buddy. They love them Leahs, and thank God for them Leahs. They're steadfast. They're there. Sometimes all them Leahs wants just a little bit of appreciation. But you know what? Even if they don't get it, they'll still be faithful. You gotta learn to love them. Be careful about it, brother. Look here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing but partiality. May the Lord help us, brethren. There's a temptation for every one of us to be partial. Now, you can be partial in friendships. I mean, come on, brethren. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Some people you won't click with better than others. I mean, it's just, hey, come on, man. So if some people, man, some people's hobby is going to be, I mean, man, running around through the mud and shooting deer and, you know, and something like that. And other people's going to be like, I could care less for it. Man, I'd rather get under a car and take some wrenches to some, you know, and some people could rather care for that and they'd rather be, you know what I'm saying? I mean, people are different. People are different in all kinds of ways and some people can, that's fine. But, brother, look here, but you, as far as equity, as far as judging things, as far as your treatment, they'll be same. Better not be partial. Better not be partial. Take your Bible. Go back to Proverbs 24. That book's rough, ain't it? That book's rough. I tell you what. That book just hits us where we're at. Amen. I mean, it just hits us where we're at. Hey, you just gotta take that book. You just gotta just surrender to it, you know. And you gotta submit and say, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. God in heaven is true. I'm a mess. Help me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? What a book. What a book. What a book. And it lets you know that outside of Jesus Christ, we ain't got a prayer, man. You ain't got a prayer outside of Jesus Christ. Look here, Proverbs 24, verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we see a lot of that going on today. We see a lot going on today. A lot of this mealy-mouthed stuff where people that are wicked and undone are professed to be righteous. They're claimed to be, you know, wonderful and good and all this. Tell you what, the Bible says, one does that, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. Go to Isaiah 5. Let me tell you where this shows up a lot. You know where it shows up a lot. The political realm. The political realm. In the political realm, all kinds of that stuff goes on. You know, talking out both sides of your mouth at the same time and pronouncing somebody to be something that they're really not and just blah. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's confusion and it's devilish. And don't you let yourself fall prey to it. You see, when you say to the wicked, thou art righteous, did you know that really, not only is it wrong, but it's a cruel thing to do to the wicked. Do you know that? To call the wicked righteous is cruel to him. For he sees no need of repentance. Believe it or not, brethren, people listen to you more than you think. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, people listen to you. And brethren, if we proclaim something to be a certain way, a lot of people, they'll latch on to it, even if deep down they maybe don't believe it, they'll latch on to it because they want to. And if you proclaim the wicked to be righteous, you know, he'll latch on to that thing. He'll believe it whether or not he knows it's so or not, because he wants it to be so. And what you're doing is cruel. It's cruel. Brethren, it'd be a pretty messed up thing, wouldn't it, to tell somebody that they could do something that you know full well they can't do just for joke, a laugh. That's the kind of thing that needs a high-end whooping there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that thing somebody needs to, you know, somebody grab hold of them and really put it up. You know, to take somebody, do something like that to them, you know, to know something they can't do, and then to put them up to it, you know, and tell them they could just for sheer, you know, let me tell you, that's a cruel thing. There's people out there that are cruel like that. It's cruel to tell the wicked that they're righteous because they're not seeing their need to repent and see what they really are. Okay? And let me tell you what else is cruel to. It's cruel to the upright. because it brings confusion and discouragement. If you've got young folks that you're trying to teach to do right, and then they see the wicked called righteous, you know that message that gets across? Well, what? I understand. I thought I'm doing what? I understand. Then why? It can breed confusion. It can be discouraging. That's one of the reasons why you need to tell your children, if they're going to make it out there in life, that they do right, not because you always get blessed, but because it's right. You understand me? Don't put this stuff on your kids. Now, if you'll do right, there'll be a blessing. There will be ultimately. But ultimately sometimes means a while. And sometimes, brethren, you do right and things go backwards. Sometimes you do right and bad things happen. Though it works ultimately for good. We know that. But you're talking about dealing with them, helping them understand. They need to get across this bottom line thing. You do right because it's right. Not because you may get blessed, but you do right because God expects it. He's God. And that's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. You know, you don't do right because, well, you know, if you do right, you imagine telling the kid, if you do the right thing, it'll come out right and you'll get rewarded. And then he doesn't, and he ends up last. Or he gets up being taken wrong. I don't understand. You said, what you tell them is that, hey, ultimately there is reward. Ultimately there is with God. And God calls it all out, but you don't know when He'll call it out. You don't know when He'll do that. And the bottom line is you do right because it's right. That's it. All right? But again, calling the righteous wicked, calling the wicked righteous, is a cruel thing to do, both to the wicked and both to the righteous. And the consequences, what did we just read about? Well, the consequences are people will curse you. Man alive, we sure don't need another reason for somebody to curse us, all right? People will curse you. Because let me tell you something, brother. Even though people are messed up themselves, they really got a real problem when they see somebody that they know is like themselves or even worse, and people pronounce them righteous. They'll curse you, man. They'll curse you. It says nations will abhor you. Whether a religious leader or a political leader, it will come back to you. You know what? Billy Graham, from what I've been able to gather, did a lot of damage when he would go into these countries where, you know, that they were under oppression. And he would play to the show that they presented in front of him and make statements like, you know, that everything's okay here. There was, you know, and the people that got the true faith and the underground churches and all like that, suffering for it. Yes, sir. It's messed up. That's right. But look here, I want to tell you something. There's something strange about that fella too, anyway. Statements he's made, brethren, honestly. He has opened himself up to having his salvation called into question. Now I'm just serious. And the reason I say that is, you say, well, I know in the past, but hey, in the past when he preached, you couldn't argue what he said. But brethren, that man questions whether or not there's a real hell. That's a fact. I've seen the stuff. His views on stuff, brethren. Brethren, it's like, man, Jack Chick really bird dogged that stuff and said some. And he said, you know what? The Lord Jesus preached, and everybody, and you know what? Men crucified him. And never was popular. Graham preached, and I mean, it was just. But see, the newspapers got behind him. The Hearst newspapers got behind him, from what I've been able to gather. Something funny about that thing. Man, you know what he did? You know what he did? It's a fact. He went and accepted an honor from Belmont Abbey, a Catholic school. He'll never cut down the Pope. If anything, he lifts him up. He bears the smell of faults. I'm sure tell you, that's just truth. And some damage has been done. And you know what's the sad thing about it? Is people just fall all over, man. Just fall all over. Just the greatest thing. Tell you what, brethren. Tell you what. Better be careful. Better prove all things, all men, by that book. Well, preacher, that means you. You better believe it. I tell you to. What's a man got to fear from somebody pulling a book out on him if he's right? If he's preaching a book, what's he got to fear from it? Look here. Be careful of it. Go to Exodus 22. They said he went down there. I'm pretty sure I read this. He went down there, Mexico or somewhere, and just caused problems. There they are, the real believers down there, trying to get their folks out of the Catholic Church. And he uses Catholics in his crusades, you know, that he would send them, I think, by best knowledge he did, he would send them back to the Catholic churches. Come on, man, that's insane. That's the horror church. That's the horror church. That's why the Lord wanted people to come out of. Man, how many of you here got saved out of that? You don't send people back to that mess. And I don't buy for a minute there. Well, there was nowhere else to send them. Yeah, there was. There's people to be sent to. And what you do is you try to get something started up for them, but you don't send them back into that mess. Look at Exodus 22, verse 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Look what the Lord says about this. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. He just said fatherless and widow. He didn't say righteous. He just said fatherless and widow. Lord's saying, look, you mess with them, I'm going to hear them if they cry to me. And my wrath, verse 24, shall wax hot, and I will kill you with sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Great goodness. Lord ain't playing that stuff. Over and over in the Bible, orphans, fatherless, and widows, Lord's got a heart for. You mess with them, Lord's going to mess with you. You mess with them, God says, if they cry out to me, I'll hear them. And kill you with the sword and make your wives widows and your children fatherless. You're just not playing with that thing, brother. Just not playing with that thing. All right, look here. Brethren, go back down to Proverbs 24. Says the one that says to the wicked, you're righteous, thou righteous, him shall the people curse, nation shall abhor him. Brethren, I want folks praying for me, not cursing me. That's all prayer I can get, man. I want people praying for me. I want people saying, Lord, bless him. He ain't got good sense, but bless him and help him, Lord. Not people saying, Lord, bring a curse down on him, get him out of the way, he's rotten. Not that, man. Not that. He calls the wicked righteous, brother. I don't want that. Don't be praying for him, not cursing him. Look what it says in verse number 25. But to them that rebuke him shall be the light, and a good blessing shall come upon them. So a blessing is to them that will rebuke the wicked. To one that will rebuke the wicked. Go to Leviticus 19. Let's look at some more scripture just a minute here. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 17. Leviticus 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Now remember, we looked at last Sunday, I believe it was, who your neighbor is. That's anybody who's in need. That's anybody you run across that's in need. So that means anybody that you run across in your daily affairs that you have contact with. You know, that you have contact with. And there's something going on. But sometimes there's a need of a rebuke. Now the Bible says reprove not a scorner. But there's a difference between somebody wicked and a scorner. Not every wicked person is a scorner. You see what I'm saying? There's some folks out there, brethren, that they're wicked. They're doing wrong. But they're not a scorner. They won't mock you. You know. Now, if a person is a scorner, basically the Bible says earlier in Proverbs, don't waste your breath on it. They'll hate you for it. But a wicked person, they need a rebuke. They need to hear something from you. Pray about it. Pray for the right opportunity. Have your attitude right. Hey, you know what? Brother Nordheim called me up this week. Yeah, and bless his heart. Bless his heart. He called me. They've been sick as dogs. They've been throwing up about everybody in the house. But he called up just like a little youngin' with a prize, buddy. Let me tell you what happened. He was listening to BBN. And I guess there was that song on there. There was somebody that was singing a song on one of the stations. Let us break bread together on our knees as we something or other. I know the line he's talking about, with our face to the rising sun. Well, that sounds, it is. It sounds like an Easter sunrise service. It reminds you of over in Ezekiel chapter 8. Their backs were to the temple, they were facing the sun, you know. Well, but you don't think what Bud Nordheim told me, bless his heart. He told me about a year ago he had called up that station and he said, Pastor, I didn't handle it right. He got real intense. You know, and so it didn't go good, right? Well, bless his heart, it just really bugged him. Because I guess they was listening to the show and were trying to, eat the meat, throw away the bones, and get something good from him. But that thing just really vexed him. Well, he called the station back up the other day. And the lady said, well, let me speak to the manager. And he said, Brother, I tried to do right this time. Just talk to him, you know. He said, that song there, he said, that thing really don't speak of a right thing. And the guy said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, have you ever read over in Ezekiel 8? He said, well, look, I'll check that out. Again, well, you know what? They left a message on his answer machine the next day and said, Mr. Nordheim, we checked that out. I see exactly what you're talking about. That song will not be played on this station any or this program anymore. Thank you for letting us know. And took that thing off. And you know what? That's a blessing. But he only told me, he said, he goes, Pastor, he said, you know what? The first time I tried to get upset in the flesh, and he goes, you know what? I tried to do it the right, and it really, he was just tickled to death. And that's a blessing. You know, I mean, it's something he felt strong about, handled it the right way, and you know what? He went and called him back up the next day and said, you know, and the first, he said, well, they've just done that. No, first time they blew him off. Wait, no, because I'm sure, you know, you get somebody hot like that, and I'm like, I ain't got time for this, you know. But amen, brother. You know something? There's a way to handle things. And sometimes there's things that need to be dealt with, and you and I can deal with it, but deal with it in the right kind of way. Look here. Leviticus 19, look at verse 17. Why, we just read, thou shalt not hate thy brother in the heart, thou shalt anywise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Just, you know, brethren, sometimes, there's a time that the Lord wants you and me to say something to somebody, to be a help to them, and to take a stand for what's right. I'm not talking about being a loud mouth. I'm not talking about getting in the flesh. I'm not talking about trying to make... But you know what, brethren, if we'll take and try to be sensitive to the Lord, sometimes there's a way we can handle something and do something, and it can really have an effect for somebody. Really can. Really can. Look here, Matthew 14, verse 4. Verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Now you got to love old John the Baptist, buddy. Didn't hold back. It's not lawful for thee to have her. And she hated him for it, and she got his head sooner or later. But he just put it on him, saying, it ain't right. Not right, it's wrong. And took a stand against it. Take your Bible to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. You know what, brethren? I think I told you all this before, but just... I'm not saying everything always works out like this, and I'm not telling you to go out and do something like this. I'm saying just be sensitive to the Lord. But about a year or so ago, I was sitting, I think I told y'all this, I was sitting over in Gerald's Tires, and as a fellow there on the phone, a young black man on the phone. I guess he was talking to his girlfriend, wife, or somebody. I reckon I guess that's what main dog would mean. And she was female, and I guess you're my main dog anyway. See, he was talking to her, right? But the thing of it is, along with, that wasn't too bad, but there was some bad words. There was some foul language being used in there. And there was some ladies in there in the thing. And he was just like, I know you. Going on him. I said, it was just grieving far out of me. So I leaned up there to him, and I said, hey, I said, knock that off, there's ladies in here. And he looked around and it shocked him. And it shocked him, you know, and he went and he kind of got quieter with it and he got over, you know, and he stopped it and he went on. So I just went on doing what I was doing, everything, you know. I didn't try to keep staring at him and trying to like that. Hey, watch this. He didn't do that anymore. You can tell it bugged him. It bugged him. It bugged him in a way to where it convicted him. I was getting ready to leave. Look here. I was getting ready to leave, and I walked up to him, and I said, look, I want to give you something. And I gave him a gospel tract, put my hand out. That boy grabbed my hand and said, thank you. Thank you. And he was as humbled down as could. I went down that road about crying, praying for him. You know something, brethren? I wouldn't have had that burden if I'd have just got mad. I mean, I went on the road, I was just about crying. I said, Lord, please deal with him. Oh, God, deal with that young man. Help him to see. If I'd have just got, you know what, the sorry music, that low-down punk, man, listen to that song, you know, and just stood inside, or else got up in a huff, you know what? I would have gone down the road burdened for him. I would go down the road for him. I may go down the road, Lord, break his phone. No, you know what I'm saying. I'm just, but you know what? And I'm not saying, brethren, I've always done that, or Lord's always, I'm just telling you right then, I felt like it's the Lord had done. You know what, brethren? It gave me a burden for him. It gave me a burden. I wasn't mad at him no longer. I was so burdened for him. I was so burdened for him. And he accepted it, and he took it, and his attitude got. I'm just telling you, sometimes, brethren, sometimes. Now, don't go out of here, brethren, saying, I think I'll try that. You let the Lord guide you. But there's a time, brethren, there's a time that you can take. And God have you say something. And brethren, it'll have an effect. It'll have an effect for him. Look here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. We just read that earlier, then to send rebuke for all that others also may fear. Go to 2 Timothy 4 real quick. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. How do you do it? With all longsuffering and doctrine. Now there's one for you. Look here. Watch this. Paul told Timothy that when you exhort, when you reprove, and you rebuke, do it with longsuffering and doctrine. But look here. I want to give you a little hint. People will handle a rebuke way quicker if it's based on the Word of God rather than your opinion or your aggravation. Are you with me? When you handle a cause in righteousness, the sheer weight of righteousness gives strength to your cause. But if you handle it because you're aggravated or on a personal opinion level, it ain't gonna cut it. You have an argument on your hands. And if you start it and ain't ready to end it, you're gonna be in a mess. You understand me? If you start something and ain't ready to finish it, you're going to get in a mess and you're probably gonna get embarrassed. Okay? So I'm just telling you that so the young folks look here. Hey, I love zeal. I'm all about zeal, but you better couple it with some knowledge. And you better be careful and have some discretion. If you go and just get irate about something, and a lot of times you don't like the situation that's going on, but then you can leave. A lot of times, you know what? Let me give you an example. Watch this. Man says, shoot. Man, if I walked in that place and somebody said something to my wife, why were you in that kind of place? You see what I'm saying? Why were you in? You know, a lot of times people are like that because they're in a place where people would do that. The answer is you don't go to that kind of place. And let me tell you this also, brother, look here. You better take. When you've got righteousness behind your cause, when you can back up your rebuke, be it in the church, be a word, when you can ever back up a rebuke with a righteous principle from the Word of God, now that's some backup. I'm not saying it'll always go smooth. I'm not saying it'll always be received. But I'm telling you, you've got strength and weight to your cause when you do that. When you can say, you know what, that's just not right. That's just unclean. You know that's not right before God. That lends a weight to your cause that just saying, I don't like it. You know what people are going to do? Well, who are you? You don't like it. Well, I do. So what? You know, you got a mess on your hands. But you know what? When you approach it from righteousness, that's a different story. It's a different story. And always remember that. How did Paul tell Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort? With all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Have righteousness as you're backing you up. Take your Bible real quick. Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Verse 23. Proverbs 28, verse 23. By the way, brethren, also be careful too about your zeal sometimes. Let me throw this out here. A lot of times somebody's like, brother, if you're in somebody's business, if you're in somebody's place of business, I would be careful before I made a big stink about laying a track out in their place if they don't want it. That's their business. Don't you dare think that you're you know, that you're now being persecuted for the cause of Christ when you're in somebody's private business and they tell you, don't do that, and you continue to do that. You're not getting persecuted for the cause of Christ. You're getting persecuted because that's that man's business. He has a right to tell you that, and you need not do that. But you think, brother, come on now. Listen, we wouldn't allow somebody to come in here and start doing certain things that we wouldn't want done. I mean, if somebody's got a private business and a private kind of thing, brother, they've got a right to do that. So don't be going and getting an attitude about something like that. And understand something. Before you go off ever with a holy chip on your shoulder saying, don't love the things of God, they didn't know if you was Mormon, they didn't know if you was Jehovah's Witness, probably. A lot of times they don't know at first. They don't know what you are. They ain't got time sometimes, and so they just probably got standard policies and all. So I'm just saying, be careful. We like sometimes put a holy chip on our shoulder that be careful about things. Look here. Proverbs 28, look at verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Not right off, but afterward. Afterward. Look here, brother. Let me tell you something. Jeremiah, if you want to see a good example of this, about Proverbs 24, saying to the wicked, thou art righteous, but to them that rebuke him shall be the light. Jeremiah. Man, somebody in Scripture that you want to salute, you know what I'm saying? Get your attention. Jeremiah, buddy. Man, Jeremiah. God giving Jeremiah a message, tell the king he better give up. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah's message to the king was surrender. Give up to the Babylonians. And the princes and the officers, the people, all of them, they hated Jeremiah. Put him down in that dungeon. Wanted to kill him. But what a message. Totally unpopular. Instead of trying to rally folks up, we can do it, we can overcome, we can defeat them just one more time. Jeremiah says, it's done, man. You're toast. Give up. And God will let you live. That's the word of the Lord. Whew. Manhood. Manhood. I ain't kidding you, buddy. Manhood. Jeremiah rebuked the king and the leaders of Israel, and the Lord took care of him. Nebuchadnezzar was merciful to him. Read about it. Nebuchadnezzar made sure, check it out, Nebuchadnezzar made sure Jeremiah was taken care of. Let him stay in the land. In fact, you know what they told Jeremiah? If you want to come to Babylon, you can come. Or you want to stay here, whatever you want to do. And it wasn't like Jeremiah was, you know, a spy for the enemy. No, he was for his nation. He just delivered the message of the Lord. God took care of him. Well, he had some rough times, but God took care of him. Brethren, rebuking the wicked is good for them and brings a blessing to you, ultimately. And then finally, Proverbs 24, verse 26. But to them, or verse 25, but to them that rebuke him shall be the light, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips, they giveth a right answer. They'll give people, when you give a rebuke to the wicked, then you will be given, ultimately, honor, love, and respect. Let's close up here. Go to Job 6. Job 6. Verse 25. Job 6, verse 25. How forcible are right words. But what doth your arguing reprove? Well, there's one. You know, a lot of times, you know why people argue? A lot of times. Because pride. They want the upper hand. And they want to win the thing. And you can, brethren, you can win the argument and lose the individual. How forcible are right words? The person won't let you see it at the time. But if you're giving them Scripture, if you're standing in for holiness and righteousness, if you're giving them, it's having an effect, though you can't see it at the time. How forcible are right words? Brethren, there's a time that rebukes are needed. Reproofs and rebukes. If you approach it just on your level, what makes you better than them? This is your opinion versus theirs. That's not good ground. But if you approach the thing from the Word of God, on righteousness, on those grounds, it gives a force, a strength, an added impetus to your calls and your words that you wouldn't have otherwise, that God can work in and use for their benefit.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I pray you help us to take to heart what we've looked at. Lord, help us to... Lord, we do not want to be the kind of person that just shrugs our shoulders and lets everything go by and says, well, what can you do? Lord, that's a wrong, rotten attitude. Lord, we don't also want to be the kind of person that sticks their nose in everybody's business that comes along. That's not our place neither. But Lord, help us to have the discernment and know when we should offer rebuke, reproof, or exhortation. But Lord, help us to do so on the foundation of your word. Lord, we're on solid and good ground when we'll do that. Father, help us to chew on what we've received tonight and apply it as we need it. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.